How to arrange person of day to make bhajan. Many devotees has different experience how in most perfect way arrange person of day for making bhajan. How make devotee make plan, I will do this, I will do this. Can you explain your experience in this?
The devotees asking a question of all those fortunate few devotees that have the whole day to do bhajan. They may be single or married, retired, whatever their ashram or position is, it's a great stroke of fortune, especially whether they live anywhere alone without any financial responsibilities. Yet, how the devotee's asking a very good question, how to best arrange the day to stay on target, to stay absorbed in the perfection of bhajan that we've received from Guru and Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das. One thing in common for all devotees that are alone or even grihasthas is that all of us conditioned souls, we're all conditioned souls, we're all sadhakas, we're practicing, not really by strict definition, we're not even sadhakas, but we're practicing sadhana bhakti, attempting to become pure sadhakas at the level of bhava. And there's some common factors. All of us eat, all of us have to cook and eat, buy sabji, wash our clothes, keep our house clean, keep our kitchen clean. We have many things to take care of. And if we have independent income source or some fixed deposit or some checks coming or money coming, or we have to check our financial situation, manage our money. And this is not a new thing. We read in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami retired from government seva. They were, of course, very big ministers in the government, and they were very good at their job. So the emperor rewarded them very handsomely. They didn't steal any money from the government, but they were given a great gift of charity, pension, whatever you want to call it. It amounted to millions of gold coins. So Rupa Goswami took those millions of gold coins and he kept them with a baniya, with a grocer. Then he would spend them for Vaishnava seva and Krishna seva. Although he was a vairagi, a sannyasi. So money and vairagya, or money and bhajan, are not incompatible. They can be, but they don't have to be. So the world, everyone, I've seen the most renounced Babajis, everyone has to have some arrangement for food and all these things. So whether we're a Babaji or a Grihastha or a Brahmachari, we're all basically doing the same things every day. We're all sleeping, we're all bathing, we're all dressing, we're all washing our clothes, we're all shopping, we're doing so many things. And then we sit down and do puja, yoga pit dhyan, and Thakurji Archan puja externally and internally, maybe only internally. And then Lila Smaran with japa, a fixed number of japa. And then Lila Smar, and then we throw in an artik or two, Mangal artik, Sandhya artik, and a bhog offering, one or two, three, whatever, preparation. So these are, we're all doing these things, and whenever free time is there, we try to do specifically Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Swarup Siddha Bhakti is that bhakti which is perfectly bringing us to the goal we want to attain. The sadhana is not different from the sadhya. That is Swarup Siddha Bhakti. So we're hearing, chanting, remembering, in our Siddhadeya as mandris, Radha and Krishna's Nitya Leela. We're hearing their glories, we're chanting their glories, and we're serving them in meditation as sadhakas. When we attain siddhi and prema and go to Goloka Vrindavan and then Goloka Vrindavan, we do the same thing. We'll hear the glories of Radha and Krishna. We will sing the glories. We'll be in our Siddhadeya and we'll be serving them day and night. So this is Swarup Siddha Bhakti. This is the best form, the most favorable form of Raghunuga Bhakti. So then, of course, eyes are closed, all senses are withdrawn. This is called pratyahara, withdrawing the senses. Then holding them, dharana, holding the senses on our bhuta shuddhi, our pure identity as manjris. And then that is our bhuta shuddhi. Bhut means living entity, bhut means material elements, and shud means pure. So that identity, fixing the self-esteem identity and siddhadeya as a mandri, then meditating on lila, guru sarup, everyone, the whole entourage, the whole setting, the scene, the vibhav, anubhav, everything together, and entering there. That is, now, the person, the devotee is asking, so that's a general practice to all devotees that have free days, basically free to do bhajan, will pass their time. But then he asked me, what do I specifically do? What I specifically do, I do all the same things. I wash clothes, I cook, I wash my pots, I go to the sabji market, I take out the trash, I burn the paper trash, and I compost the natural things. I try to be a little ecological about my tidings also, because we grew up that way. Responsible trash maker. Take my own bag to the sabji market, don't bring back plastic bags, etc., etc. So we should be responsible, ecological, Krishna-conscious consumers. Ultimately only consuming breath, breatharians. Take a deep breath and meditate all day. That would be the ideal goal. Pranahari. Pranahara means pranahara and pranahari. Pranahari is Krishna. He steals the life errors of Radharani just by a glance. Pranahari. But pranahar means living on pran. Breatharian, they say in English, breatharian. There are such creatures, human beings, that are able to do that. Certainly admirable. They don't have to wrestle with pressure cookers and pots and pans. Very nice life of bhajan. So what I personally do when I'm doing all these things, I listen to Astakali Lila. I've read many, many Astakali Lila Shastras and Sevas. Even I posted some on the internet. And I want to keep my body and senses are washing pots, but I want my ears and heart and mind and stay in Siddhadeya and stay in a Lila. So I don't think this is any kind of special magic secret I'm revealing. I think almost everyone must do the same thing. But you're asking privately, if you want to take a survey to see if I'm keeping up with the Joneses, then if all the Joneses are doing this, then I'm with you. So I don't have any secrets that I'm hiding, as my guru doesn't do all this whole elaborate sound system scene that I do, because he's born a Brahmin and pure Brahmachari whole life. So in 78 years in Vrindavan doing bhajan, so I think he's pretty absorbed in his identity and his leelas. But for me, I play it that way, and I find it's an actual wonderful way that you don't even know you're cooking or washing, because you're just, I don't want to say it's like unconsciousness, like the gopis and Krishna leaves Nandagram in the morning for cow herding, then Nanda Baba and everybody falls into the ocean of separation and are just moving around, Nanda Baba and Rohini and Kalimba and Raktak and Patrak and Dinesh and all the house servants are just moving around like lifeless statues, because Krishna is their Pranath. And Krishna's left, gone to the forest to be with Radharani, ultimately, and the cows and coward boys. So they're walking around like they're catatonic, like in a trance, forgetting to eat, and some well-wishing Brahmins or someone has to feed them. And it says in the Govinda Lilamrita, they're doing everything, they're dressing and they're doing everything as if robotically or mechanically, automatically, out of habit. But they're not even aware that they're getting dressed or eating, because their awareness and their mind and consciousness has fully run off to Krishna. Just like in Yugal Gita, chapter 35, the 10th canto. The two gopis get together and they cry on each other's shoulders. We have this expression in America. Misery likes company. Misery likes company. I'm miserable. I go to my friend, I'm really miserable. I'm crying. So he says, okay, put your head on my shoulder and I'll shelter you there. And then he said, well, thank you, thank you. Then he says, by the way, I'm also suffering. And then he starts crying. And so this way. So then the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna leaves Nandagram, their whole consciousness runs after Krishna. So that would be ideal, that we'd pass our days, we're being in the Sajri Mark in a totally mechanical way, and we haven't even left the Leela. Whatever Leela that we are absorbed in at 4 o'clock and 5 a.m. and 6 a.m., 7, when we go to the Sabji Market, we haven't left that Leela. It's just sitting on our head like a hat. Like you put a hat on your head in the cold winter, you wear some topi or some hat, scarf, and then you walk outside, you still have it on because it's cold in your house, cold outside. And then you go out, so this Leela is just sit on the head. And then you just do everything automatically. So I personally, I'm always listening to transcendental sound all the time. And that way, hearing that sound of the Leelas and Sevas, then I just sound there. Okay, I'm throwing pots and pans around and trying to cut it and beat. Everyone has a brain, has so many levels and so many capacities for attention at different levels. So our conscious, heartly conscious attention stays in the audios that we're listening to of Sevas and Leelas. But then our physical attention and also our attention, this is an offering for Thakurji. It has to be done very nicely. It has to be done very carefully. It has to look very attractive. It should taste very nicely. It should be warm, not too hot, not too cold. It should be spiced just perfectly and properly. So all of that attentiveness and that devotional absorption is also there. It's not that I'm off in Leela listening to the tape and I space out and burn the chabadis. Or that I meditate on the sweet rice like the South Indian Brahmin. And he's doing meditation. And that shows the power of Smaran. He doesn't say he's in Manjari Sarupa. He just says he's a Brahmin doing Manasi Seva. And every puja manual, every puja Padati will say before you do external puja, if you're doing external puja to Thakurji, you have to do internal puja and do more seva and more puja and offerings in your manasic puja than you do in your external. So before the Brahman even did puja of his Shalagram Shila, he's a Brahman. This isn't Pragitoshtanapur or some name like that. It's in Padma Purana, it's also quoted in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Before he did his external puja of his Shalagram, bathing Shalagram, massage, little Tulsi, Chandan, whatever, he did internal puja. And externally, he's a very poor Brahmin. He doesn't have money to buy much anything. Maybe buys a piece of mystery, rock candy, and offers that, or just offers some flour, and he bakes some flour, and offers a dry roti, whatever. Whatever he gets in begging. He's a true Brahmin. But before he offered that externally and did external puja, he did Manasi puja. So in his Manasi puja, he did dhyan. It wasn't some elaborate Astakali Leela dhyan in his Siddhadeya. He's just simply thinking, oh, Thakurji's there. Oh, Chaturbhuja Narayan is there. He's my Ishtadev. I see him in my heart. And I made this wonderful sweet rice for him as his devotee. And now, I think it may be too hot to offer him. So let me just touch with the tip of my finger. I won't let my fingernail touch. Because my fingernail touches the preparation, then it's contaminated. It can't be offered. So I'll touch just the very tippy tip of my finger to see if that sweet rice is too hot. Oh, it's very too hot. Then he woke up from his dhyan meditation. His puja, manasi puja dhyan. It's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he was looking, oh my Lord. Oh, OMG. My finger is burnt. In his meditation, he was meditating in hot sweet rice. It was only visualized sweet rice. It was meditative, you can say. It's not illusory, it's real, because you can see how real it is. We can't say that meditations are illusion. That's an offense. They're not kalpana. Meditation is not kalpana. Meditation is real. So he's meditating on Vishnu, meditating on puja, meditating on this kheer arpan, offering of sweet rice. And to show Vishnu want to teach him that, yes, I'm accepting your seva in your mind, your manasi seva, and I'm accepting your seva in your body. and to show you the non-difference of external seva with indriya and body and internal seva with man and heart, there's no difference. Just like externally, if you make the sweet rice too hot and you touch it, you'll burn your finger. Obviously, anyone would. Whether Pajari or not Pajari, even a Karmi will burn his finger if he touches your sweet rice. It's too hot. But this is in the mind. So then he came out of the meditation. Oh, my Lord, you're so kind. You're so wonderful. What mercy. What reciprocation. What confirmation. What elation. What inspiration and what enthusiasm that devotee would have to go on and on in his bhajan for even deeper and greater spurtis and experiences of the Lord. So this is manasik seva. So that I just to summarize what I've said about staying in tune with the lila and with sevas. For example, devotees go to the market and they go to the market and they carry their japa beads there and they're chanting all pramad japa. At least this is of course everything, most all philosophical discussions, even discussions of the absolute truth are extremely subjective. One guru sees it this way, another guru sees it that way. One acharya sees it this way, another acharya sees it that way. They're subjective, and they're all true. Because there's a dham, there's an aspect of the Lord, and there's a realm, and there's a Lord, or let's say a devata, a form of Bhagavan in that realm that will fulfill all those criteria and parameter and visions and ideas of the various subjective views of transcendental reality. Because it's not black and white. There's infinite color and infinite variety in transcendence. But we can see that many devotees, they take japa, whether that's good or bad, that I'm not giving any value judgment on that. Phalyam parichyate, judge a thing by its results. But our particular teachers have instructed us and quoted one verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which says, Swa japa malikam sugopya. So the subjective understanding of this Puranic statement, which is replicated in Hari Bhakti Vilas, of my teachers is that swa japa malikam means your own japa mala should be gopya. Gopya means secret. You should keep it secret. So that anyone can give different interpretations. Well, it's in my bead bag, it's secret. It's in my bead bag under my chadar, it's double secret. It's in a bead bag under my chadar, under my other chadar, because it's wintertime. Now it's triple secret. Under my sweater even. So now it's four times secret. So that's valid. No argument. Win-win situation. Keep chanting. Don't stop. Kirtaniya Sundari. But one may question, am I chanting attentively? Am I actually realizing that I'm sitting with Krishna and Radha, or with Radha, and serving her the sweet names of Krishna filled with so many lilas? Is that the only thing on my mind right now while I'm passing these beads through my fingers? Hey, how much is an eggplant? Kitna kilo? Hey, too much. I'll give 5 rupees. Hare Krishna. chanting japa is never a joke or never a laughing matter. It's always serious and beneficial and good. But from what I've understood personally myself and what has been confirmed by my teachers, my teachers, and everyone will follow their teachers, that's their perfection, is that the japa mala, we chant japa in our kuti, and then we leave the mala there, and you chant kirtan, you chant in your mind, chant Kam Gayatri when you go in the public. If you go long place like Overland Prikma, then you take your japa mala, no problem. Or you're just going here or there to the market. Our Gurudev went so far to say this is offense to the Nam because of Pramad. Pramad is one of the branches of the 10th offense. 10th offense includes Pramad, which means negligence. Being negligent, being non-concerned about the name. So now, back to my formula of staying in tune. You can, of course, if you have that powerful mind, even when you leave your lila smart, and you get up and you can just carry that smart in your mind and wherever you go, see it. Or everyone has a telephone, everyone has an earplug, record it, Leela's on your phone, put an earplug in your ear and go to the market. And then again, that's also inattentive hearing. That's also inattentive hearing of the katha. At least you're not counting that as your japa mala. You're chanting 64 rounds and subji rounds and post office rounds and this rounds and that rounds. Something is there. It's maybe the number is coming, but the quality of the number is questionable. That's obvious. So one could substitute that carrying the mala to the market by carrying the lila in the mind or listening on an earplug to lilas. Personally, we're mostly in our kutir doing everything here. So our cooking, our washing, our cleaning. Why we're doing all those things when I'm not sitting and doing smara and bhajan is I'm hearing the lilas. I have a very big speaker. You can see it right there. And it plays quite loudly. So even in a bathroom with the door closed, the speaker is not in the bathroom, but the sound goes everywhere. Sound goes through steel. Sound goes through, otherwise how does your sound, your microphone, your telephone work? Sound is waves. Waves go through steel. They go through consciousness. They go through all the layers of the universe. This is the power of sound. Golokera Premadana, Harinam Sankirtana. So we're chanting here, it's going all the way through. That's a pretty powerful vibration. So the vibration of Harikata or Hari Lila, Hari Nam, it goes everywhere. But out of respect, we don't take these machines in the bathroom, but the sound goes everywhere. Just like I'm in the bathroom and the guy next door is blasting a kirtan on the speakers. Now the holy name is dancing in the bathroom now. Because it's anyone could hear it. It's plenty loud. But is that offense? No, I didn't take it there. It's just coming inside. Anyway, maybe that is too. But so that way, even I'm bathing, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm holding this golden water pitcher, and my Guru Sakhi I'm holding the pitcher, and I'm pouring it over Radharani's hands, and my Guru Sakhi is holding a big basin underneath, catching the water. And so even bathing. In other words, what I personally do is try to connect everything I'm doing with the lila. And this is ultimately, I think, about as best as we can do. So we're in the kitchen, we're cooking. Well, I have my two stoves, but there's 98 more stoves because Radharani's cooking on 100 stoves. And my two stoves are dedicated to Radharani. And I'm just getting the fire ready here with this aloe wood. I push it this way, that way, it caught fire. Now he turned it this way, that way, and fanned it again. Now it's at a good temperature. Swamini, now this stove is ready for the dal. And then I put the dal in my pressure cooker and put the dal in the pot. It's a matter of you have reality, then you have the visualization. The reality world and the visualization world. So the visualization world is the meditative world. The reality world is the sense perception world. Now, when you bring the visualization world into the real world, then you may become schizophrenic, or you may become a madman, and that sometimes happens. But that's for lokic or materialistic people. But we try to attempt as much as we can to bring our visualization, which is our meditation and visualization, inner vision, inner attempts at vision of the Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna and their sevas, performed by me throughout the day and night, with the actions we're doing. Okay, I am cooking at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 11 o'clock in the morning. But Radharani was in Nandagram, and she was cooking at 7. Now it's 7. I'm in Nandagram. So your clock becomes Radharani's clock. Your clock on the wall is Nandagram clock. It's Yavat clock. And your kitchen is Krishna's kitchen, or it's Radharani's kitchen in Yavat, or Radharani's kitchen in Varsana. Everything just transforms, because that's the whole idea of transforming the world. The apricot lila of Krishna becomes prakat when our consciousness transforms. And we see it all right here. Gopal Kumar was born here 500 years ago in Govardhan, 3 kilometers from here in Anior. 4 kilometers. And he was in Yamuna playing with the cows. He took the cows because Yamuna, we think Yamuna is so far away. Yamuna was flowing in Yamuna Mata. Yamuna Mata is, Yamuna's coming from Nandagram and Varsana side, Nandagram, Varsana, all along that west side of Govardhan, going down past Chandrasarovar and then curving over. There's a village called Yamuna Mata. It's called Yamuna Mata because Yamuna was flowing there, and all the dirt there is very yellow and wonderful for growing flowers because it's all from the bed of the Yamuna from thousands of years ago. So he went to the Yamuna. He was born in community. He took the cows over there, Yamuna Mata, and he met one sadhu there wandering along the Yamuna banks. Maybe he was wandering from Yamunotri. Who knows? Sometimes sadhus, they start in Gangotri and they walk all the way down. They come down the galactic plane and they go to the Indian Ocean. They go to this Sagar. What do they call it? Sagar? The mouth of the Ganga enters the ocean. What's it called?
Ganga Sagar.
Ganga Sagar. Sagar means ocean, so Ganga Sagar. So that's a big mela there. So they time it to be there in January, whatever. And they stay up there in caves in the winter, then May, they start coming down and through Hardwar, then they come down to Ayodhya and Ram Nomi, then they come over to Braj and work their way to Kumbh Mela, and like this. Then they go on to Ganga Sagar, then they go south and they work their way back to north. Sadhu's life. Nice life. So we have the snangar or bathroom. We don't have somebody's hair, they're brushing your hair. When will I clean Radharani's hair and I'll dry it with when will I clean Radharani's latrine, her bathroom, bathing house, then dry it with my hair? So all the things we read and all the leelas, this is called Abhiman. And Bhakti Sandarbha, I don't know, maybe 238 or so, Anuchet. Jiva Goswami Pada says that Abhiman city bhavati. He says simply by Abhiman, having the Abhiman city bhavati, one can attain bhavati, the condition of perfection, simply by always maintaining the Abhiman. Abhiman means Ami Radha Kinkari, or I am eternal servant of Radharani. Eternal maidservant Radharani. This is Abhiman, the sense of self-esteem, identity, who I am, who is the real me. So he said you can attain siddhi just by that, because that's man, Abhiman. It's called Abhiman. It means your man, your whole inner, because everything, what's ever going on in the mind, that will give us our body next life. That will give us our next life, high or low. So the mind is Abhiman, the mind. Complete Abhiman, complete mind wrapped around this eternal identity as a Manjari, and moving with that identity and interacting with every object with that identity, performing all tasks and activities with that identity, then sitting and absorbing completely in that identity and leaving the whole external world, all the pots and pans, all the bathrooms, all the clothes, all the friends, everything. And you're just there in eternity or as long as you can stay in that meditation. And this is such a beautiful sentence. I remember reading in one purport of Stavavali by Srila Natadas Babaji. He says that for the sadhakas that are absorbed in Lila Smaran, when they're not actively engaged in Lila Smaran, there's so much hankering to get back to that taste. There's so much hankering to get back to that taste of Lila Smaran, that they just quickly do whatever they do and get on with the real business of Lila Smaran, which is rasa swadana. They're tasting so much inner bliss. I mean, of course, Srila Natadas Babaji Maharaj is talking about the true sadhakas. And of course, it's obviously these sentences that he writes are his personal bhajans. They're not particularly the comments of the acharyas he's quoting. These are his own statements. He's saying the sadhaka will feel. And then when you're the reader, you say, well, who's that sadhaka? It's a person writing this. The person writing this is saying this, the sadhaka will feel like this. It'll feel so much hankering to get back to experience again that sweet taste of doing smaran. I read that 1988 first time. As the Vaitadas is giving me Xerox copies of his books, A4 size. I still have in my counter, in my Elmira, they're all yellow paper. 88, 89, 90, like this, early days. I just come to Vrindavan. I moved here in 87. I met him then also, around that time. So then, I was reading that then, and I thought, oh, he must, this Acharya, this guru, this great devotee must be experiencing an amazing relish in his bhajan of Smaran. And that was 30 years ago. And now I've read this same statement recently. And now I have, oh yeah. Because 30 years ago, I didn't have an idea. I couldn't relate to what he was saying about he'll experience such sweetness in his Lila Smaran that he'll want to get back there. So now after 30 years, I'm saying, oh yes, Babaji Maharaj, I tasted a drop of what you're talking about. I mean, not today, but a few days ago, you know, I was locked in, you could say, locked in the wave of Smaran, in the curl, like the people on the ocean that get in these waves. So this is the mercy of Guru, and the mercy of Yoga Maya, and the mercy of Parampara, that when we get properly situated and sincerely try to endeavor to follow the path of bhajan given by our parampara and by Lord Chaitanya and our six Goswamis, they reciprocate. Krishna, not only Krishna reciprocates, but all these great personalities, because they're in Chinmaya Deha. They're eternally present. And they're watching. If the sun planet can watch with his eyes, what about Raghunath Das Goswami? He can also watch. He watches the sadhakas. Raghunath Das Goswami is much more powerful than Suryadeva, the sun planet, the sun god. It says the Acharya, Krishna tells in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, he says, Acharya mam vijaniyan sarva deva maya guru. Sarva deva maya guru. All the devas are compressed maya deva guru. In a guru, sarva deva, all the devas are maya, deva maya. They're compressed, they're concentrated. All their shaktis, all their abilities, all their talents, all their powers are concentrated in the form of the Acharya guru. Acharya mam is Krishna, sarva shakti mayi Krishna. Acharya mam vijaniyan. Not karichit. You should not think he's a human being. He's not a human being. He's not a manush. He's not even a devata. Because the first line he says, don't think it's a hellish mentality to think he's a human being. You should not think that. Not only he's not a manush or admi, a resident of earth, he's not even from the devalok. Bhur Bhuvasva, Sarva Deva Maya Guru. All the devas, all the whole devas in the plane of Bhu, he's not a man of this Bhu region. And Bhuva and Swa and the higher regions, he's not a creature of there either. Because Acharya Mam, Vijaniyan. Vijani, you should deeply know it. Vishesh Jana, you should very clearly and especially understand this point, that the Acharya is God, is me, Bhagavan. This is a very nice point. So these are some ideas about bhajan.